Armed American Radio listeners, today's Armed American Radio's recorded version of the national radio broadcast, the Armed American Radio podcast, is being brought to you today and every day by North American Arms. Make sure to visit NorthAmericanArms.com for the finest mini revolvers on planet Earth. NorthAmericanArms.com. Enjoy the show.
Is Armed American Radio.
If they want to take my guns, they're going to have to bring a station wagon and a whole lot of friends, because I'm not giving them anything.
From the Carr Firearms Group studio
at the Patriot Mobile Communication Center
on the Sig Sauer Platinum microphone.
Mark, we know they want to take our guns, and now we're going to make them eat it.
Proudly presented to you by X Insurance.
X Insurance. X Insurance.
Here is your host of Armed American Radio, the loudest conservative voice in America fighting for your rights, Mark Walters.
Walters.
Loud. Let's make it loud. That moniker, I love that. The loudest conservative voice fighting for your rights. Hundreds of radio stations tuned in right now. That's why it's loud. We're everywhere, coast to coast, and around the world, for that matter. Welcome inside the Carr Firearms Group studios with me, Mark Walters, in front of the Sig Sauer microphone from the Patriot Mobile Command Center. It's all brought to you by X Insurance. If you want to watch this program in high definition, visit armedamericanradio.com. That's the easy way to do it, because it's the same name, right? Armedamericanradio.com. Click Watch Live. Just don't do it while you're driving. You can watch us in high definition. If you are driving, you can click the Listen Live button and get the same show that's being heard on hundreds of radio stations live across this country right now, where you can tune in on your radio dials. Just look us up. You'll see a list over there somewhere. And it's all being brought to you by X Insurance. Remember that. And if you want to participate in the chat, you can download the Telegram messaging app and search Armed American Radio Conversations, or you can just chat while you're watching live on the webpage. You can watch us on Apple TV, Roku TV, Twitch, all that stuff. I've lost count. Don't even know anymore, but we're everywhere. Welcome into the show, guys. Last hour was a good one with Alan Gottlieb and AWR Hawkins. And this one's going to be fun, fun, fun. If anybody can step in those shoes, our good friend Sheriff Kurt Hoffman, Sarasota County, Florida. Sheriff Kurt, it's great to have you here. Welcome in. Can't wait to hear your voice. How are you, my brother?
I'm doing fine, Mark. It's great to hear you. It's been a while. We've got a lot to talk about.
Oh, we're going to cram as much of it as we can get in these next two segments, I can promise you. But I have to start with ATF with you. As sitting law enforcement, you're obviously familiar with what happened in Arkansas with the airport executive director and a no-knock warrant at 5:30 in the morning. And as a law enforcement, as the sheriff, as the lead dog in Sarasota County down there, Kurt, I've got to ask you this, man. Why the no-knock warrant and not just arrest this man at work? Why?
Well, first and foremost, Mark, I'm just appalled as a person who wears a badge that would still occur in our country. And, you know, the no-knock warrants have been struck down by the federal courts time and time again. They're really pushing back on local and state jurisdictions to not even do those. And in this case, it's the feds that are out there doing it. And, you know, AWR had it right, and you've had a great week of talking about the ATF in this situation. But frankly, they just overdo everything they do. And that's coming from a 35-year law enforcement veteran. I'm telling you, we've knocked on a lot of doors, not no knock, knocked on the doors. We've had conversations. We've called them. We've met the people. There's a lot of other ways to resolve that, particularly in light of the circumstances surrounding this. This wasn't some, you know, guy up on a roof with a sniper rifle or anything. Right. This situation could be handled a lot differently. But that's, unfortunately, how they operate in many cases.
Why? It just begs the question, why? This seems to be intentional. Now we have the video out, I'm sure you've seen it, of the agent putting the piece of tape up on the guy's Ring doorbell.
I did see that. I just watched that yesterday. As a matter of fact, my wife brought it to me. I attribute it to this, Mark. You know, here locally, a lot of times as a deputy sheriff working the road, I was out there by myself or had very limited backup. You had to, you know, let your language skills and your ability to talk to people get you out of those situations. I just don't think the ATF has to do that. They can load up in an armored vehicle and roll into your driveway. To me, it's the way they've been trained. It's what they do. They have not done real police work. But I mean, there's been a lot of times I've had to talk myself, out of a bad situation when I haven't had backup or I've got into a situation too far. I just think for them, that's the consistent modus operandi of how they operate based on their federal training, which is very, very different than us, you know, local folks who deal with the public and deal with the community and have a lot of these conversations. Heck, half the time we can call the person and say, come on down, meet us at the station. Yeah. You know, we can do a lot of things that way. And I think in this case, you know, the severity of the crime certainly wasn't there to warrant what we saw. But as I said at the beginning, as a person who wears a badge, my dad did it for 42 years. My brother's pushing his 30th year. Both my uncles. We all look at that, you know, 150 years of law enforcement experience and say, what in the world are you doing that for? I don't know. I have a good answer for it.
It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And as law-abiding gun owners, when we see revocations with zero tolerance or zero... For what? Perp walked the guy from his office, man. If that's what you want, if you want to make a spectacle, that's a spectacle. Because now, Kurt, we're left with nothing but the ATF's word on this, and the cynic in me. And it's just my opinion. I won't ask for your opinion. You can voice it if you choose to. But they murdered this man, and I'm hopeful that somebody in Arkansas holds these people accountable for that, because it was completely unnecessary to do. And as law-abiding gun owners, what we see as a weaponized agency, this frightens all of us.
Well, and remember, too, Mark, you know, even if you're a chief of police, you have other elected officials, whether it's your city council or whatever. And in the case of a sheriff, I'm obviously elected. So somebody in D.C., somebody at the field office has made that decision, approved that decision, signed off on that decision, because there's no accountability there. Now, if I did something like that, a chief of police did something like that, even as bureaucratic as municipalities can be, they still have elected officials that the people have elected to hire that chief and to administer law in their particular municipality, in my case, in the sheriff's office. So I just don't know there's any accountability. Somebody along the way is like, oh, yeah, that sounds like a good idea, and signed off on it. And I bet you if you trace it back far enough, Mark, it's probably a bureaucrat who's never even worn a badge or been involved in a search warrant.
Yeah, that's pretty scary stuff, Kurt.
It is.
It's very, very scary stuff. All right. You and I exchanged some emails earlier today. And what I'm looking at here, I want to talk about the border. Now, set this up for us. You're going to the border soon, correct?
Yeah, I'll be going down as a guest of the DEA on the 11th, 12th, and 13th of June. I passed it up earlier this year because my schedule didn't allow it. And I know some people say, well, you can turn on the TV and see what's going on down at the border, Sheriff. But my constituents ask me about immigration and the border every single time I go out and speak to them, and they support me going down. And I want to see with my own eyes the debacle that other people are reporting. I want to talk to some of the professionals on the ground. And we've got a very good relationship with the DEA. I have detectives that are embedded in the DEA, and that helps me see where that fentanyl is coming from and how it's making its way into our community. So I'm looking forward to that. Just want to report back to my constituents what I see, what's happening, talk to the folks that are the boots on the ground there for sure.
What's your perspective on how ICE is handling this? Because I do want to get into the crime numbers. Ladies and gentlemen, this is where I'm just going to throw this out for you now. Stay armed. This is what you're going to hear in this conversation for the next remaining segments that we have with Sheriff Kurt Hoffman, Sarasota County Sheriff, is why you need to stay armed. Just stay armed.
But yeah, there's no question about that. When you look at the numbers that are here, when you look at the criminal illegal aliens, and when I say that, not just criminally, they came across you know, without checking in, that they've got crimes on the other side of the border that they've committed from a variety of countries, frankly. I mean, it's primarily Central America and Mexico, but they come from all over the place. And now the number of known folks on the terrorist watch list, which started out in the 20s, they're saying is slowly approaching 100. That should scare every one of you, because they're out there somewhere. I don't know if they're in Cincinnati. I don't know if they're in Sarasota. I don't know if they're down there in Georgia with you, Mark, but they're in our country.
They're here. And, you know, I know you listen to the show, and you likely heard me say this, but Lake and Riley was my neighbor, lives 2 miles from me. Her family lives 2 miles from me. So this really hit home, okay? It really impacted this community more so than – it impacted the nation, of course, but it really impacted this community because she is a neighbor. Terrible, terrible thing. But let's talk about warrants served in ICE. What kind of relationship do you have with ICE? Let's take this to the break, and then when we come back, I want to give you numbers that are occurring, from what I understand, in your county, and they're shocking, just Sarasota County.
Out of our jail. Yeah, so we have a pretty good relationship with ICE, actually. They have had offices in my jail and assisted with holds and removals of criminal illegal aliens, a significant amount. I think some of the information I sent you showed that since I've been in office, we've made almost 9,000 queries of the ICE database, and we've had hundreds of holds and hundreds of removals. And we get back on the break, we can talk about what the Warrant Service Officer Program is and how that helps my community. But essentially, those corrections deputies are cross-sworn as federal agents and can serve that warrant. So that person who has a $500 bond for a DUI or something is not able to bond out, get on the street, do more damage, or God forbid, go somewhere in the country where we can't even track them. We can hold them for the 48 hours. ICE can get down there. They can start the removal process. We can get them over to Miami and send them back to their home country. So that window of 48 hours is really crucial. And to be able to do that, we had to be cross-sworn as warrant service officers, which I gladly did. In fact, I added 17 additional WSOs since I took office.
Yeah, and ladies and gentlemen, what you just heard from Sheriff Kurt, 9,000 queries. That's Sarasota County. There are over 3,000 counties in America. Wrap your head around this. When we come back, we'll get some specifics from Sarasota County, Florida Sheriff Kurt Hoffman. He's the real deal. We love him, and he's a big fan of the show, and he's a big fan of you. Armed American Radio, we'll be back right after this with the sheriff. Don't go away.
Segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by Mike Lindell and MyPillow. Don't forget to use the promo code AAR at MyPillow.com. Welcome back.
Yeah, that is MyPillow.com/Armed American Radio. Use the AAR promo code. $25 extravaganza going on, still going on. Don't know for how long, but I saw an ad for it last night, so I know it's still up and running. And if you buy anything 75 and over, and you likely will like I have, you get free shipping. And you can do it all right there at MyPillow.com/Armed American Radio. Use that AAR promo code. Get the same deals that you see on TV with other promo codes, but the AAR code says, thank you for supporting my right to keep and bear arms for a decade on Armed American Radio. Guys, we couldn't do it without our partners. And as I mentioned, we've got another really good one coming up. We'll be making that announcement tomorrow on Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. Sarasota County, Florida Sheriff Kurt Hoffman. Sheriff, I got to apologize to you right up front, Kurt, because time just flies right by you. You know how the game is played. So let's just jump right into it. You mentioned 9,000 queries in Sarasota County alone. Now, let me go to some of these numbers quickly, and you stop me. But number of warrants served, 89, 2 homicides, 25 assault-related offenses, 5 sexual assault-related offenses, 7 drug-related offenses, 1 kidnapping-related offense, 6 weapon-related offenses, 11 larceny, burglary, stolen vehicle-related offenses, 6 fraud-related offenses. That's just you in Sarasota?
That's just Sarasota. That's just Sarasota County Sheriff's Office and the folks that are coming into our jail. So like you said, 3,000 counties across this nation. I'd be interested to know if those other jurisdictions are reporting and they have a warrant service officer program in their jails, because this is the way that we can push back on it. You know, obviously, Texas is pushing back with some laws. We've got some very good laws that we passed here in Florida as far as, you know, driving on a driver's license from one of the sanctuary states. If you're transporting somebody here that you know to be illegal, that's going to be a felony. So really, by pushing them out of our jail and back to where they need to go and passing the laws in our legislature, we're doing the best we can. Obviously, that hate comes upon us down in the Keys, and you know, Sheriff Ramsey down there is calling for help, and we push the tide back on that. But we're seeing around the country the states finally pushing back with laws and with enforcement actions.
You're seeing red states, but we're not seeing that in the blue. Yeah. And we can make the assumption, Kurt, that the blue states are not reporting what you're reporting, and that the numbers are probably significantly higher in places like California, places like Washington, places like New York, New Jersey, et cetera. We can honestly, guys, I think that's a fair assessment and a fair assumption to make. So I do have a quick question. Are you going to run into our friend Mark Daniels while you're down there on the border? Just curious, or are you going separately?
I'm not sure if I go to Arizona, but I came with Mark in Texas. I hope I get over to the
Sheriff, we're losing your cell phone. It's kind of fading out. If we don't want to miss anything you say, is there any way you can get to just kind of stationary there somewhere?
How's that? Any better?
Yeah, much better. Very good. Yeah, so you might see him. You might not. You don't know.
We don't know if we're going to get over to Arizona. We're going to spend most of the time in Texas, but I hope I do get a chance to get over there and see Mark for sure. I tell you, he has really been our champion. He has taken the lead in Washington. He has taken the lead in the media. And, of course, he's on the front lines. And like he told you many times, he's been on your show. Those folks that are getting past him are making their way to Sarasota County as you know, based on these numbers we're seeing.
Sarasota County, Florida. I mean, when you think of these problems, you think of Texas, you think of New Mexico, you think of Arizona, you think of Southern California. Sarasota County, Florida, ladies and gentlemen, midway down the state, on the West Coast. Been there many times. It's a beautiful place. You don't think it's going to happen, and yet it is happening. It is real. Are you? Is your office discussing any of this or even attempting to with Homeland Security or with the Biden administration at all? I know Mark's active at it, Sheriff Daniels in Cochise County, but are you? Is there any headway there?
Well, so I'm a member of the Major County Sheriffs of America, and the Major County Sheriffs of America have tried to meet with President Biden to send, you know, letters to him. Frankly, we're just taking action ourselves, whether it's the Warrant Service Officer Program or the laws that Governor DeSantis has signed into law here, and obviously E-Verify and all those things we put in, because we're just getting, you know, a stone wall when it comes to D.C. They want to invite us up there to stand with them at the press conference, but they don't want to tell us what the press conference is going to be about. So, you know, I've been doing this a little more than a few years now, and I'm not willing to stand up there with a politician not knowing what they're going to talk about. So our relationship is poor at this point, so we're just doing what we can do. But back to what you were saying about the blue states that probably are not doing this, the Warrant Service Officer Program to get these folks out of your community is a voluntary program. So if Gavin Newsom and some of those folks out there are telling their authorities you're not going to participate, here, I'm an independent elected sheriff. I'm participating. We signed the agreement with ICE, and we're going to do this until ICE takes it away. So that's
You bring up a great point. Let's go there briefly. Your sheriff is the oldest constitutionally elected office in this country. Most people do not realize that, but that is true. If DeSantis said to you, I don't want you doing this.
Florida sheriffs have been around for 200 years. Our agency for over 100 years. And they're not going to be able to tell us we're not going to do this. We're going to continue to do this and protect our communities because the federal government isn't doing their job. But, you know, these blue states, as you mentioned, and blue cities, obviously they just tell them you don't participate. We're not going to do that kind of thing. And they're seeing the consequences. You know, your guests this week have talked about where the guns are at and where the violence is at in this nation. And you can just throw a dart and hit a blue spot, and that's where it's happening. We've had six weeks of spring break down here, Mark. Tens of thousands of people on our beaches, and we've not had a single, you know, firearm incident here. I mean, we enforce the law. We let them know we enforce the law, and Florida is known for that. These other areas are not, and unfortunately, their citizens are suffering.
Well, and you guys have a lot of practice. I mean, everybody from Panama on down, the rest of the panhandle, you guys have a lot of experience with doing that. Of course, the Lauderdale and all that stuff. So let me, again, throw this disclaimer out. How important is it with what you're seeing on the streets right now that law-abiding Americans stay armed? And is that an advantage to you and your deputies?
100% an advantage, and 100% those folks should be armed out there. My community, my constituents know my position on this. Even when you dial 911, that's the longest 2.5 minutes of your life for a squad car that's running code trying to get to you. So you do what I do. You do what my family does. You defend yourself. You arm yourself. And you prepare to defend your family. And there's, you know, nothing wrong with that in our county. In fact, we expect it. And I've told you this many times on the show before. We've never had any problem with our citizens who arm themselves to protect themselves. Those are good people just trying to protect their family.
Yeah, it's frustrating out there, Kurt, isn't it? Because, ladies and gentlemen, what you're hearing from the sheriff is that the crime is real. Now, they're trying to tell us it's not. The gaslighting, Kurt, is just incredible out there. It's mind-boggling. That you see something different.
Pick whatever crime you want, Mark. Like this organized retail theft where people mob in there and break the glass and knock people down, steal all that kind of stuff. We passed a law here where if you come and do that, it's going to enhance the penalties. And I'll tell you, we've got folks set up in our retail theft corridors. And we just don't tolerate that. If you allow it to happen, you can watch all these news stories you see on TV. There's not law anywhere to be found around at the time that it's going down. There's no consequences, of course, with no cash bail. It's a much larger problem than just any one thing. But when you have all those liberal cities and those policies, you have these millions of people that are here illegally. You have these blue cities, sometimes adjacent to red states or red cities, they end up trying to come into our turf. And that's where we've got to kind of push back. And that's where sheriffs come in.
I've got 10 seconds. Do you ever think you'd see it this bad, Sheriff?
In my 35 years, I never thought I would see it this bad. I just said that to somebody the other day. But there's hope. There's an election coming up, Mark.
There is hope. Sheriff Kurt Hoffman, we love you, man. Keep fighting the fight on behalf of your constituents. We love you. We'll be back. Stephen Gutowski right after this. Thank you.
Daniel Defense firearms are guaranteed for life, trusted worldwide, and designed, engineered, and manufactured right here in America. Daniel Defense, freedom, passion, precision.
Daniel Defense is freedom, passion, and precision, ladies and gentlemen. DanielDefense.com. You still have time, by the way, to get in on that Daniel Defense Double D Foundation.org. Support the youth shooting sports with the raffle. $25 a ticket, $5 for $100. And guess what? Goes to a great cause. And you might win that $5,000, $49.99. We're cutting corners. So $1, give or take. It's a $5,000 custom M4A1 from Daniel Defense that is just tricked out, baby. And if you want it, Armed American Radio listeners, you have won it 2 of 4 times. So check it out. TheDoubleDFoundation.org. Joining me now, Stephen Gutowski, The Reload. Stephen, my brother from another mother. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. I did some Philly cheesesteaks on the flat top yesterday, and I thought about you because you know as well as I do, what's the cheese they slap on when you want extra when you get a real Philly cheesesteak downtown?
You got to get some whiz with that.
It's the whiz. Most people don't realize. It's the whiz, ladies and gentlemen. It is cheese whiz in a big old giant can, isn't it? I'm right, aren't I?
It totally is. That's literally out of a can. That's almost a good place to do it.
Yeah, these guys open up around me and they say, oh, we got authentic Philly cheesesteaks. So I said, all right, good. I'll have it with and give me some extra whiz. And they're like, what did you just say?
What I
said was I want it with onions and extra cheese whiz. And they just don't get it. But I know you get the Philadelphia food, man. And I love seeing your posts whenever you put them up, whenever you're back home in Philadelphia. I love it. So keep it up. And the scrapple, baby. Thanks. I haven't had it in about a year, but you were the one that got me back on that stuff. And I might have to.
Delicious.
No carbs in it. Oh, it's wonderful with some eggs. Wonderful with some eggs. So, Stephen, I mean, you know, I'll ask you where you want to go. When I started the show with Alan in the first hour, I thought, you know, Alan hadn't been on in 2 weeks. And over that 2 week period, it was almost overwhelming. He's like, Alan, pick it. Where do you want to start? Because it never ends, Stephen. It just never ends. And I guess it's job security for both of us in a sense, right? But at the same time,
it's true.
But in the same breath, some of this I'd like to see go away. All right. So I'll take you right over to the ATF. Let's start with the ATF with you. This is, you know, Sheriff Kurt Hoffman was just talking about it, very disappointed in what he has seen as a career law enforcement officer. He cannot believe what happened in Arkansas. Alan Gottlieb, same thing. And you know Lee Williams very well, the gun writer. We're all good friends, and he's done some incredible reporting on behalf of the Second Amendment Foundation on ATF. What's your take?
Yeah, I mean, certainly full transparency is needed in investigation of how that went down. I would question the methods, you know, and the case itself that they built. Why they chose to conduct a raid like that, especially if given what the accusations are, you'd have to assume that it could go the way that it ended up going, and you find another path to arrest someone if you're going to charge them with something like that. It seemed like there were a lot of other opportunities they could have taken.
Yeah, a lot actually. I didn't want to put the sheriff on the spot with this, but I've made it very clear. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it was murder, and because there were other avenues. And then we see the videotape released of, you know, the guy putting the tape up on the ring doorbell to cut the camera off. I mean, I'm assuming law enforcement's supposed to be wearing cameras anyway. You know, what are you trying to hide? The whole thing just stinks. It just absolutely stinks. While we're on the subject of the ATF, let's go over to the new rule. This is an agency that's literally changing the language to fit whatever it is they want it to fit. And it's dangerous, ladies and gentlemen, because if the ATF can do it, so can any other governmental agency. And it can be anything. They can change the definition of, well, maybe your home. You know, the whole goofy squatter thing going on. Maybe the liberal government wants to change what makes it a home. Just because you have a mortgage, it's not a home. They just change the rules. Stephen, this is frightening stuff, man. It's like we're living in another world.
Yeah, you know, I think this is where the court system comes into play as a key balancing chip to what federal agencies do. Because, I mean, I do think a lot of federal agencies, it's in their nature to want to coalesce as much power around their agency as they possibly can to issue guidances or rules that leave a lot of things up to their discretion so that they can, you know, I'm sure in their opinion, that's the most effective way for them to do their jobs. But obviously, what's best for a federal agency, for what it thinks enforcement ought to be, is not always what's best for the people, right? And that's why you have to have the court system scrutinize these things, and there has to be opportunity for people who say this is not proper, this is out of line with what the protections of the Constitution guarantee. You know, have them make their case and get a fair hearing. And I think that's where, with all these rules, including the latest one, you are going to see, you have seen, and are going to continue to see significant legal action against them on that basis.
Yeah, but well, the legal action takes years, as you well know. It takes years. Mm-hmm. Now, the administration is very well aware of that. The legal action is going to outlive this administration. Even if they were to steal another election and get another 4 years. Yeah, I said that, ladies and gentlemen. All right. There you go. I said it. Even if that happens, the legal action is going to outlive even a second term. And they know that. They know that. And I'm certain that that's part of the game plan. You have a piece up from a couple days ago. Will Biden's new gun dealer rule have much effect? And I like the way you start it. The short answer is yes. The longer answer is not as clear. Can you explain?
Certainly. Yeah. I mean, I am of two minds on this, right? On the one hand, when I look at this rule, I see a lot of the things the ATF has been saying for a long time, right? I know there's people haven't been paying close attention to this issue. They might be shocked by some of the stuff that's in there, right? The contention that you need to get a dealer's license if you sell as few as one gun, right? Or if you there's no cutoff for how much money you make off the deal, right? That just the profit has to be involved. You know, those sorts of things. But that's stuff that they've been saying for a long time. So I'm sure you and probably a lot of your listeners remember 2016, the Obama administration came out and did a very similar thing where they announced they were going to tighten enforcement of gun license to gun dealer licensing.
Right.
And, you know, that was, they made that out to be a very big deal at the time. And if you look at the way they're promoting this, it certainly seems that they're trying to get headlines for closing the gun show loophole, right? Not that that is the actual thing that exists, but, you know, they're trying to get headlines based off this move when, you know, to me, a lot of it is very similar to what the ATF has said for years. Now, on the other hand, this is a rule instead of just a guidance. So it does have a bit more legal staying power. You know, it can be cited in civil proceedings, for instance. It's not supposed to be used for criminal proceedings, but
okay,
you know, they may, the judges and prosecutors may take from this rule to use in criminal proceedings as well. So, and to me, ultimately, it is kind of the effect it's going to have, in my opinion, is to cast a shadow over used gun sales, to where the effect is to try and make people confused about whether or not what they're doing is legal. And to try and
where that goes, Steve?
Force them to get licensing.
Yeah, and they know that people mostly are not, okay? And I think you just hit the nail on the head. There's that old adage. We'll take this to the break, and then when we come back, we'll segue over because it's a perfect place to do this to another story that Stephen has written about. But there's that old adage, right? When in doubt, don't. So they're hoping mm-hmm. somebody like me is going to say, man, I'm familiar with this. I'm not going to sell Bill that gun because I don't want the ATF coming to my home to kill me at 5:30 in the morning. So you know what? I'm just not going to do it because I'm certainly not going to go get an FFL to sell one gun and go through that hassle. Now I've got the ATF giving me an autopsy every month. Yeah, that's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen, to dissuade you from doing something. And if you do, then it creates a backdoor registry. We'll be back. One more segment with Stephen. The following segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by Patriot Mobile. Visit patriotmobile.com/AAR and use the AAR promo code to get free activation today. Welcome back. Yes, welcome back. Welcome back. Car Firearms Group Studios. X Insurance is presenting all of this to you today and every day. 6 hour mic is lit up for you. Patriot Mobile Communication and Command Center fired up at the ranch. Gotta love that. Please visit all of our partners at armedamericanradio.com. Barrel Buddy. Have you gotten your Barrel Buddies yet? I've gone through, I don't know, 75 of those things. They are game changers. For $14.99, you can clean all your guns just like that. No mess, no hassle. Pitch the patch. BarrelBuddy.com gets it done. All of our partners are at armedamericanradio.com. Let's go back to Stephen Gutowski from The Reload. Stephen, you were talking in the previous segment, you know, media coverage comes up. You know, media coverage is very skewed when it comes to our gun rights. And, you know, I get a little nostalgic here. I remember back a few years ago when you and I were talking and you were telling me that you were leaving the Beacon and the Reload was forming. And, man, I was just proud of you and thrilled for you. And I was, I thought, you know, and I was one of your first in there. And I'm very yeah. proud to be one of the first charter members, probably in the top 15 or 20 when the Reload first mm-hmm. formed. And the information is just incredible. It's ridiculously incredible. And, of course, now you're a CNN contributor as well, which is a great thing. You know, we think of CNN, well, they've got an even keel voice with you over there that brings some sanity to this discussion. And on your podcast just the other day, I know you were talking about how the National Journalism Center and I are training new reporters on gun politics. This is incredibly important. One of the most important things that you do, I think, because the media, for whatever reason, and maybe it's bias, maybe it's a combination of everything, a lot of it's ignorance, but you are working with other journalists, and that was one of your original goals when you founded The Reload, to give people a clearinghouse to actually get facts on this and come to you. Are they coming to you? Clearly you're making a difference. You've got to be.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I hope so. I think so. But like you alluded to here, one of the issues is like I'm only one person. And as much as I can try to bring, you know, balance and an informed approach to the issue when we're, you know, talking about in media coverage, I'm only one guy. And so hopefully by training other reporters who are interested in you know, the basic facts. I don't try to indoctrinate them one way or the other. Just try to inform them of both sides of the issue. You know, the arguments that are common. What's going to come up if you're going to be covering guns and in reporting. You know, there's very common things that come up. Very common mistakes that get made, as you and your audience well know, as I know, sure. just from consuming news media, right? You know, that's where the National Journalism Center comes in. I mean, that's part of their goal. They're part of the Young Americas Foundation, and they've been around for decades training young reporters to try and get ingrain in them the best practices of journalism, the kind of stuff, you know, people want, right? The attempt to be fair, the attempt to be informed, you know, those core aspects of reporting that I think most people still believe in, even if they have doubts about, you know, the media landscape these days. But part of that now includes a range day and classroom portion for their the participants in the program that I teach, where we go and go over the common issues you're going to face as a reporter writing about guns. Some of the mistakes that are commonly made, some of the, and how to correct them, right? And then also, mm-hmm. just the basic function of guns. Right? This is something.
Well, if you're going to write about it and talk about it, understand it. My question is, I couldn't help but think when I read this piece yesterday, and I chuckled about it, or read it earlier this morning, and I chuckled about it. And I'll quote from you. So the program's director, T. Beckett Adams, joined me on the show to discuss what our gun reporting lesson looks like. He also gave his assessment of how much of the media covers firearms, the problem with the approach, and the solution to it. Part of that solution, he said, includes real-world training on key issues in gun politics as well as on how guns function. So the question came to mind, any invite ever go out to that goofball expert over at the BATFE who couldn't disassemble a Glock in the amount of time that my kids could have disassembled it, reassembled it, disassembled it, reassembled it, disassembled it, and reassembled it one more time? I mean, any possibility? I'm being facetious here, but, you know, you've got these quote-unquote leaders out there that are writing rules that are putting people in jail, and the guy can't even disassemble the easiest gun to disassemble, for crying out loud.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe not for ATF agents who hopefully should get some of their own training, but you know what? You bring up that segment. I think it's an important point here, because who I'd like to train is the reporter on that segment. That is one of the worst segments I've ever watched from a reporting standpoint. Like, this is a segment where they're just treating the ATF agents and the director as though their claims are fact, as though they are the subject matter experts with a purely factual point of view. She had no knowledge of her own, clearly, from watching the interview, because she doesn't catch any of the mistakes that they make. She doesn't question any of their assertions. It's just taken as fact because the ATF says it. And that's a huge problem in our industry with law enforcement generally, but also with the ATF in particular. Anything, because, you know, it's very clear from watching it that the reporter has never had any sort of training on firearms. She doesn't understand the basic arguments over all of the things that Stephen Dettelbach, the ATF director, is advocating for in that interview. He's acting as a political figure. He's advocating for certain policies that he wants as part of the Biden administration. He's a appointee of President Biden. He has an agenda. Like, it's not a crazy thing to say any of that. And a reporter should know what the issues are, what the arguments are, and be able to challenge them. You should not be sitting there doing softball interviews completely uninformed about what they're telling you and with no ability to ask a tough question. That's where this program comes in. That's what we're trying to fix.
God bless you for doing that. I hope you're successful. We've only got about a minute, but I do want to go to California. Those of you listening in the state of California right now, could there be some hope for you, at least a glimmer? We're winning lawsuits in California all the time. They keep going up to higher courts, and you know how that process goes. But gun rights group sues California over non-resident carry rights. We've got about a minute, so go ahead and take it away. Could there possibly be good news in California for those of us who might want to visit California one day for whatever weird reason?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly possible. I think that restriction in California and elsewhere is one that is likely to lose. You saw it lose in Washington, D.C. when they lost their case even before Bruin. Yeah. They were required to issue non-resident permits. That's how I have one, even though I live in Virginia, right? And so I wouldn't be shocked if this is one of those areas that's just too far for the California courts or the federal courts who govern California's law are going to say maybe that's a bit too much. Just like you kind of see this with micro stamping, right? California's defending their handgun safety, the roster, but they're a little willing to say maybe that part's too far since it's literally impossible to actually comply with. And you saw this with the advertising ban for minors as well, where there was the Ninth Circuit did not come riding to to save the California government in that case by accepting an en banc appeal, right? So you have seen some starts there.
Well, it's hopeful. It's a reason for hope. And in a post-Brew environment, it should already be a foregone conclusion. But again, you know, there's a lot of cynic in us now because of what we see happening in blue states and in courts, subsequent follow-up to these things. It takes a lot of time. But there is hope out there, ladies and gentlemen. There really, truly is. Some of these cases, I think we will eventually get to the Supreme Court. Stephen Gutowski, you're awesome, dude. I love you. Thanks for everything that you do over at The Reload and what you're doing on CNN and trying to educate these reporters. You truly are doing God's work. Stephen Gutowski, The Reload. Ladies and gentlemen, go over there. It's like $10 a month and get great reporting on these issues. Stephen Gutowski, The Reload. Thank you, brother. Classic Armed American Radio Roundtable coming up next with Brad, Neil, and Justin. Don't miss it. We'll be back at 6 after.
You've just filled your prescription for freedom with Mark Walters, presented by X Insurance.
X Insurance
on the Armed American Radio Network.